Today is the 17th of October 2011. This is Malcolm King from the Gloucester Rugby Heritage Project. I have with me John Thayers, and today we've come to Stonehouse to meet Keith Richardson. Thank you very much for joining us, Keith. Could we start at the start, I suppose, of where were you born, and were you born into a rugby family?
Born in a place called Seaton Delaval in Northumberland. I went to a grammar school at the age of 13, having failed the 11 plus. When my parents got a letter from the school to say that I had to have rugby boots, the whole family just looked in amazement. What? Nobody knew what rugby was. We found out later from somebody in the street that they were pretty close to football boots, so that little hurdle was overcome. But no, totally non-rugby background. There was only one ground in the world, that was St James's Park, and still is. And rugby just happened to be something I became quite good at. But it certainly wasn't from any background that we know of. Having said that, we then found there was a rugby side in one of the local pits, about 5 miles away. And I learned the game at this, what was a new grammar school, and then started playing for Seg Hill. And it was a strange place, but I've got many, many fond memories of being a schoolboy in a mining community. And it was most odd, because I always thought that when you changed after the game, you had to change with lots of miners who were rather dirty in the showers. And it was just, you took it for granted. And their circuit was very much mining teams up in the northeast, so everybody tended to change into pit baths. And I got a bit of a shock when I found that that wasn't the norm. But it was a great place. I wouldn't say it improved my rugby at all, but it was really fun times. And we played for the school on a Saturday morning, Seg Hill in the afternoon. So that was the sort of early days of rugby, from a game that we'd never heard of. It was alien. And even as I got older, the North East was never very big on the game of rugby, because football was the game. It was fairly simple. I went to Loughborough in 61 and was there 1961 to 64, and came under the tutelage, coaching of John Robbins, who was a Welsh international, British Lion, and was actually, he never let anybody call him that, he was the first British Lions, inverted commas, coach. He wasn't actually a coach, there were no such things at that time, and he wasn't allowed to be called coach. I think he was sort of fitness advisor or baggage man, I don't know what they called him, but he certainly wasn't the first coach, but he was the Lions coach, in fact. And he had some fantastic players around, and my rugby sort of, whatever it was, took off then.
Well, I guess at that time, Loughborough and St Luke's were the two places to be as a student playing rugby, weren't they?
They had, well, certainly Loughborough and Luke's, yeah, but there were some very, very able players. And I think the good thing was that somebody like myself, who'd not done badly, had the better things drawn out of them by some really top-notch players. So you got even better through being in this group of people. And I think it worked. Then you had John Robbins, and coaches weren't around at that time. Clubs didn't have coaches. So as a student, we were very lucky to have somebody who knew the game, knew how to coach, and did just enough but let you get on with it. And the sort of calibre of players at that time was quite phenomenal.
I've got a cutting here, actually, for you, of the St Luke's Loughborough game.
Oh, right.
Where Don Rutherford was at fullback for St Luke's.
That's right. Don, it's quite strange, because Don and I were born 5 miles apart. Yeah. Don, he's an interesting bloke, is Don. He used to work in the Fish Quay at North Shields. He'd been in the RAF, So I'm not sure which came first. It was probably Fish Key, RAF, St Luke's.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew Don really well. And he taught at Wycliffe College. And when he went off to London, I replaced him at Wycliffe College.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody called it the Geordie Mafia, which might well be true. But it was strange that he'd been to Gloucester just before me. And then Wycliffe College. And we sort of followed each other. Then, when I started coaching, Don was technical director at the rugby union. So he was responsible for the sort of, what you'd like, the elite coaching mm-hmm. program. Yeah. So it was even more of a Geordie Mafia. But nobody really meant, well, I hope they didn't mean it. But so we saw quite a lot of each other.
Yeah.
So there's always been, but yeah, I mean, these matches, the Loughborough Lukes thing was enormous.
Yes.
It wasn't as big as Oxford Cambridge, because that had the history and the crowd, but as a rugby spectacle and the calibre of player, it probably could match up.
Mm-hmm.
I've never kept cuttings, so that's a new one.
Who were the leading players then that you were playing with? You know, who went on to further rugby glory from Loughborough?
Well, there was a certain Mr. John Mantle, who played for Wales and then went to St. Helens.
Mm-hmm.
And he is, sorry, he was the most fearsome man I've ever met. And that was at 18 years old. John's attitude was, if you punch them first, they won't come back for more. And nobody expected that from students.
Mm.
And John was a man before his time. And he would take packs on, just on his own. And it was a fairly brutal game at the time. I know it, people laugh at this, but it was a different kind of brutality. It was the full-on Mantle just used to knock people's lights out. And his attitude was, well, if they think we're soft students, they're wrong. And he went on to great things with St. Helens. And Great Britain, played for Wales at Rugby League. He was a fantastic specimen. Others, there was a certain Gerald Davis, who could play a little bit. Tom Brophy.
Wow.
Derek Proud.
Wow.
I mean, I'm going to forget most of them. John Taylor, the Lions flanker, couldn't get in the team. John Dawes couldn't get in the team. There were players everywhere. And two or three turned rugby league afterwards. But there was just a lot of pace and a lot of very able people.
Around that time, Loughborough students had a very fine record in the Middlesex Sevens as well. Did you ever play in the Seven?
No, I didn't. I certainly wasn't quick enough for that. But they had one weapon that nobody could beat, Gerald Davis. And he could dick anybody. Even in a small space, Gerald could get through. And give him wide space, and nobody had a chance. And that was the days when London Scottish were beating everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Mind, it was a different game. It was nearly touch rugby in those days.
Yeah.
It's not like it is now, where it's very physical and hard and brutal. But I suspect that somebody like Gerald could unlock a few defences even now. He was something special.
Yeah.
One of the best players I ever saw. You sort of get the ball to him and you just think, well, get on with it, Gerald. You know, you knew something was going to happen.
Yeah.
And it did.
How many years did you have at Loughborough?
3 years, 61 to 64. And, yeah, I was lucky enough and probably able enough to be in the first team for the final 2 years. That, I hasten to add, was as a number eight. And I realised, well, at Gloucester actually, that prop was a very good position in rugby. The sort of opportunities to get in on second, third phase were great for somebody who could run from prop. Now, I could run away faster than most, so I thought, well, I can get in on this. And I mentioned it to Peter Ford once, and casually, he came to me a couple of days later, oh, you've had your wish. Cinderford away Wednesday night from United. And I just played from then, and I enjoyed it. I really enjoyed playing prop. It was great. It helps at a club like Gloucester, of course, because even if you're pretty useless, there's not many teams would have taken too much advantage of that. Well, they had to be very brave or mad or both to have done so. So I was lucky. It was at Gloucester. They had a pack that could sort of nurture, nurse, look after you. So I got through the bit that most people probably wouldn't have got through without too much damage, and then got to enjoy it.
Can I just turn you back a bit? How did you come to Gloucester? Where did you go after Loughborough?
Well, after Loughborough was a disaster area for me for rugby, because I took a job. Sorry, my mother took a job for on my behalf. I'd gone off sailing, and she knew that I'd probably never get a job, and somebody offered one, so she accepted it on my behalf, God bless her, and that was in Salisbury. Now, if you want to be the furthest away from a top-class rugby team, go to Salisbury. And in those days, rugby was a very, very odd game. There was no knowledge of players from the clubs. So you had your sort of Oxbridge, London clubs link. You had your Gloucester local clubs, Bristol local clubs, fine. But if anybody moved and didn't have a club to go to, they could get lost. Now that wouldn't happen today, because all the coaches, the structures, the elite programmes would have somebody who was in a Loughborough first team and say, hang on a minute, this bloke's here, let's get him in somewhere. So it was all word of mouth then. So I went to Rosslyn Park for a while.
Ah, you toured the States with them, didn't
That's
you?
That's right. First ever, I think it was the first ever British team to go to America.
Oh, right.
I believe so. We went with Racing Club of Paris.
Mm-hmm.
It was a joint venture. Yeah. So I went to Rosslyn Park.
How did that come about?
Well, there was a French president at Rosslyn Park, and that was his club.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Yeah, it was racing, yeah. And we went together, and it was a weird sort of relationship, but it worked. We played each other as well. But that was Rosslyn Park, and that never really worked, because I lived Salisbury, didn't have a car, so it was constant train or hitch or get there somehow. So I never went to training. So that was a dead duck before it hit the water. Then I didn't have a rugby background, so didn't know much about rugby. So I played for Loughborough, but really just went, played, went back. And I wasn't sort of knowledgeable about how the system worked. So I then had heard there's a team at Bath. So I drove along there. I'd got a car by then. Drove along there, and that's what you did. And just said, what's the chances? And went along there and played there for a while at number 8. But then I moved to Stonehouse, to Wycliffe College, in 1968. Kept playing at Bath for a while, but then the travel was just killing me off, and I really didn't know too much about Gloucester. So came along, introduced myself, I can't remember to whom, and that was the way it worked. That I went along, they said, yep, got picked for the United, and it went from there. Best thing I ever did.